morning and turn to Philippians chapter 3, the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Ah, Philippians, the book of joy, the joyful church, the church at Philippi, how we long to be like them, have the joy of the Lord overflowing. The Bible says in another place, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we need strength to make it through our life, we get the joy from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Philippians tells you how to have that joy. And as we have come into chapter number 3, last week I got to tell you a little bit of my own personal experience about how God is led and the will of God and some of the little things along the way that the Lord gives you. Down in verse 14 it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It certainly is a high calling. Whatever God has planned for your life, it's a high and exalted calling. It's a wonderful thing. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And along the way, He gives you lots of little joys and little blessings. Remember last week I told you about here, sheepy, rolling down my window and asking the Lord to let me see a bighorn sheep. And sure enough, there it was. And I'll tell you what, the Lord gives you some little things along the way like that. But nothing compares to winning somebody to Christ, to showing somebody how to be saved, and then they decide to be saved and receive Christ because you show them. And you're like, wow, thanks, Lord. Thanks for using me. It's a great thing. Folks, whatever God has planned for your life, it's a high calling. Let's look down at verses 13, and I'll read 14 again, because I want to talk to you about apprehending the high calling. Apprehending the high calling. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that this morning you would help us to know how we can understand your high calling in our lives. I pray that the will of God will not be a mystery anymore, but that we will understand your biblical means for ascertaining your high calling, your will for us, and that we'll avail ourselves of those means and know the high calling of God in our lives. Father, we know that through that we'll have joy and peace beyond understanding. Lord, would you work in our midst this morning? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've come through Philippians chapter 3 the last couple of weeks, we've broken these verses apart and looked at them. And last week we talked about this high calling of God, this high and exalted plan that He has for our lives. But perhaps you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, I believe it. I believe God's got some plan for my life. He saved me and then He left me here on earth because He's got something He wants me to do. And I believe it's something significant and worthwhile for eternity. I know He's got a plan for my life. Pastor, how do I know? How do I know what God wants me to do? How can we know God's will for our lives? We've been exegetically through this passage, so today I'm going to preach topically. I'm just going to talk about this topic, how to know God's will. Some of you will know some of the things we'll talk about. Some of you, it'll be new to you. And I think everybody will be able to glean something today if the Lord will help us. How do I know God's will for my life? Number one, from God's Word. From God's Word. When it comes to knowing God's will, there's no substitute for knowing this book. God reveals His will through His Word. There's no substitute for knowing this book. If you want to know God's will for your life, you've got to have your nose in your Bible. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word. Get the dust off your Bible and redeem your pure soul, you know. Don't let there be dust gathered on your Bible. Hopefully you take your Bible home from church and maybe you set it in a certain place. I hope it doesn't sit there all week. Now, I know technically I use a different Bible for my devotion, so maybe this one sits there all week. I keep it nice for Sunday. But don't make sure you're getting into your Bible, okay? Make sure you're getting into your Bible. There's no way to know God's will if you're not in your Bible, if you're not reading it every day, learning something from it, allowing God to speak to you. When it comes to knowing God's will from God's Word, the decisions and issues that we face, I think, fall into four categories. First of all, the commanded. There's sometimes you'll read in this book and you'll see something commanded. You'll say, wow, I didn't know that was there. That's what God wants me to do. A lot of God's will for your life is already right there in black and white. In Sunday school this morning in the men's class, we talked about this idea. In everything give thanks, for this is the, anybody know it? Will of God in Christ Jesus. What's the will of God? Well, there's one thing right there. In everything give thanks. A lot of God's will is right there for us in black and white. Some things fall into the commanded. Secondly, some things are what I call the contrary. The contrary. Did you know that God's will is never contrary to His Word? That seems obvious, but let me tell you, there are a lot of Christians who get that mixed up. And they think, well, maybe this is God's will, when actually it's something contrary to God's Word. God's will is never contrary to His Word. The classic example is the young person who wants to marry an unsaved person. And they think, well, it might be God's will for me to marry this unsaved person. God's will is never contrary to His Word. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath an unbeliever with a believer? And what communion hath light with darkness? Don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. I can tell you based on God's Word, it's not God's will for a Christian person to marry an unsaved person. Okay? And they don't have to pray about it because it's contrary to God's Word. So some things people say, I wonder what God's will is. Hey, if it's contrary to God's Word, it's not God's will. It's not God's will. Well, preacher, I think we ought to have music at the church that kind of sounds more like the world's music around here. Why don't we have some, you know, lots of rhythm and stuff that just makes you excited. What they mean is it excites the flesh. It makes you want to dance, you know. It excites the flesh is what they mean. No, you see, the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And these are contrary one to the other. The Bible says He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Sing unto Him the new song, the Bible says. Not the old song. Not new words with old music, but new music that pleases God and honors Him. And God's will is never contrary to His Word. I like Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Isn't that a good motto verse? You could take that for God's will for your life and say, therefore I esteem all thy precepts, all of them, concerning all things, every single issue, I consider all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Do you know it's right for a Christian to hate some things? Now, we shouldn't hate people. Okay, God loved the world. He loved people. But we should hate some things. And the psalmist said, I hate every false way. The reason that sometimes we give in to sin so much is because we love it. If we say, Lord, help me to hate it because it puts You on the cross. Help me to see sin like You see it. As the Bible puts it, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. There are some things that are contrary to God's Word. And those things are not according to His will. I like to say it this way. Lord, let me be on Your side. No matter what the issue is, Lord, let me take Your side. It's an issue of God's will, maybe about a big decision in life. Well, Lord, what do You want me to do? I'll just take Your side. Should I take this other job or not? Well, Lord, I'll just take Your side. Should I sell my house and move somewhere else? Lord, I'll take Your side. What about this issue of holiness or personal standards? Well, Lord, I'll just take Your side. I like to do this or go here or be involved in this certain thing or take part in this. And I don't think it's any big deal, but Lord, I'll take Your side. I'll take Your side. Just take God's side on the issue. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You want to know God's will? It's never contrary to His Word. Some decisions we make are fall into the realm of the commanded. Some, the contrary. Some fall into the realm of what I call the cautionary. The cautionary. These are things where there's some uncertainty here. We don't really see it in black and white. We look at God's Word and we read it every day, but you know, it doesn't really say, thou shalt move to that house off of Cranberry Street. You know, you don't see stuff like that. You don't know in black and white God's will in those ways. And sometimes there's other issues where maybe, you know, you heard a preacher talk about it or something and you think, whoa, that's new to me. And you're not convinced. You want to study it a little bit on your own and make sure it's biblical because it's new to you. You hadn't heard that before. And it kind of hits you like a ton of bricks sometimes. You think, whoa. And you're wondering, is this you convicting me, Lord, or is it just me being too sensitive or something? Well, sometimes there's an issue like that and you're not sure about it. It's what I call the cautionary. The Bible has some answers for that. First of all, when there's uncertainty, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes the answer to the cautionary thing is just wait. Just wait. Not sure about taking that job? Lord hasn't given you peace one way or the other. You don't want to say no. You don't want to say, just wait. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He'll give you courage. He'll strengthen your heart. He'll show you when the time comes. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We don't always see way down the road, but we'll know the next step when it's time to take it, as long as we're surrendered. So cautionary things, you just wait. The other cautionary verse is Romans 14:23. It's kind of, uses strong language. It says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. They were having an issue. They didn't know whether it was right or wrong to eat this meat. Some people said, you shouldn't eat that meat because it was offered to the idol. Somebody else said, well, an idol is just a hunk of wood. It's nothing. And I can get this meat at half price because it was, you know, offered to the idol and it sat there for a little while. And I can get a half price and be a better steward of the Lord's resources for my family. So I think it's right. Somebody else said, well, I think it's wrong because it's sacrificed to the idol. And they were back and forth about this. Paul said, look, if there's doubt, don't. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if you have some issues that you know, you maybe haven't grown as much in the Lord yet to know what the Lord wants you to do on a certain issue, well, take the safe side. Take the safe side. Say, this is a cautionary issue, Lord. I'll just wait on you. If there's doubt about it, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna take the safe side on it. Some things, if there's doubt, you know, if it's a good thing and there's doubt, then go ahead and do it, you know. But if it's a bad thing and there's doubt, then don't. Whenever there's doubt, you take the safe side. So the cautionary. Then, number four, some things fall into what I call the confirmed. The confirmed. Some of you have experienced this, but some of you maybe not, where you've sought the Lord about something, you've looked in God's Word, and it's not commanded, it's not contrary, really it's not even cautionary anymore, because now the Lord has given you a place in Scripture that applies to your situation. Sometimes you're seeking God's will about something, and you know there's no specific verse about the thing that you're seeking. But as you're reading God's Word, a passage seems to leap off the page at you. Maybe it's a passage you read before, and all of a sudden there's a principle that applies. Oh, it's not in black and white. It's not a commanded or cautionary issue. But there's a principle there that leaps off the page and you think, there it is. That applies to what I've been thinking about and praying about. And God shows you and He confirms in your heart through the Word of God what He wants you to do. That's what happened to me when I was praying about coming to be your pastor about a year and a half ago. Actually praying about 2 years ago and coming here at Bethel Baptist Church. I said, Lord, I've got to know it's your will. Because when I get down there, all those people are so nice, but I'm sure once I get to know them, something will happen, you know. And you guys are great, but things happen, right? Things happen. Problems occur. And I didn't want to get to a problem and say, Lord, is it really your will for me to be here? No, I had to know it was God's will. And I said, Lord, I've got to have this confirmed. And I'd read my Bible and I'd pray. And I'd read my Bible some more and I'd pray some more. And then the Lord gave me Genesis chapter 24 and also a verse in Acts chapter 20. I had read those passages before, but man, they just jumped off the page at me. And I said, Lord, do you want me to go to Bethel Baptist? Wow, this is great. Now, maybe some of you have had that happen before. When God illuminates His Word and He applies it to your situation. Again, I didn't read, thou shalt go to Bethel Baptist Church. I didn't even read one of the verses about Bethel necessarily, okay? But God spoke to my heart. And I knew from His Word that that's what He wanted me to do. I remember praying about going to the right Christian college. I said, Lord, I know you want me to go to Christian college because I'm not supposed to sit in the council of the ungodly. So I know secular college is out, but Lord, show me where you want me to go. And based on Bible principles and colleges that wanted to do right by the Bible, I pretty much narrowed it down to about three Christian colleges. But I said, Lord, I don't know which one. It's an important decision because I might end up meeting my future wife there. I might end up in my future ministry based on that. So Lord, it's important. You got to show me where you want me to go. And the Lord gave me a verse, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Because I had come down to those three, and I didn't know for certain, but I was kind of leaning towards one of them. And I got to that verse, and the Lord said, Mark, you've been asking me since you were in ninth grade to show me what college to go to. And this right here says, I will show you the path of life. So if you're leaning towards that, I'm showing you that. And the Lord applied Psalm 16:11 to my situation, and I knew He wanted me at that college. And so when I had all these term papers on me and I didn't know what I was going to do, I said, Lord, I know you want me here. You gave me a confirmed verse. And sometimes God will confirm His will through His Word. Now let me move on to number two, because the second way to know God's will is through prayer. And sometimes the Lord gives you a verse like that, but not always. Sometimes there's decisions that you have to make in life and you've got to know God's will about it. But no verses are jumping off the page. And you can't wait anymore because the decision is now. And there's no waiting. God can reveal His will through prayer. I remember one summer I was seeking the Lord about what to do in the summer. I was a college student and I kind of had a desire to work at a Christian camp in the summer. But I knew if I did, I wouldn't be getting much of a paycheck at all. They just basically gave you enough to live on during the summer, you know, to buy toothpaste and toothbrushes and stuff like that. It's about all you could afford on the little bit they gave you. It was way back, but I'll just tell you, it was $25 a week. Okay, $25 a week. And I said, Lord, if you send me to that camp, I got to know you're sending me because I got to pay for college next year, and I'm not going to make enough money to even get close to touching that. And you're going to have to supply. So, Lord, the only way I'm going to go to that camp is if I know you want me to. And I searched the scripture, but no verses jumped out. And it came time, it was getting close to decision time. And I said, I still didn't know. And I remember it was a busy day. I had a bunch of things to do for assignments to finish for class. But I went down the hallway to this empty room. They kept one room empty on every hall, and they called it the prayer room, where you could get away from your roommates, and it was to be quiet in there. And nobody was in there, so I could pray out loud. And I remember, instead of kneeling down by one of those bunks, I just walked around in that prayer room. And I said, Lord, I got to know. Do you want me to work at that camp? I got to sign the contract with the camp here and mail it today or postmark it today. I got to know. And I'll tell you, no verse jumped out at me, but a settled peace came over my heart. And Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that kind of peace comes when you pray and pray and pray about something. And the Lord laid it on my heart. I knew He wanted me to go. We had a great summer. The Lord worked in the lives of my campers. And lo and behold, the next year of college was paid for. I did graduate from college. Okay? So it was paid for. So it all worked out. And God was in control. But you got to know. And it comes through prayer. Sometimes you'll get it through God's Word, sometimes it's prayer. Listen to Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. pour out your heart to God and ask Him. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and it shall be given him. He doesn't upbraid you for asking. Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. That's David praying. He's saying, Lord, teach me to do thy will. Lead me. And we ought to pray that same prayer. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he gave the disciples the model prayer, one of the things he told them to pray was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, show me your will so I can do it. That's part of our prayer. My wife likes to talk about the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites are in Joshua chapter 9, and they didn't want to get destroyed along with all the other Canaanites when the Israelites took over the land. And so instead of trying to fight, they came up with an idea. They pretended they were from a far country. And they came to Joshua. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14, 15, that the men of Israel took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And you know, God said, since you promised them that, you can't destroy them. They were supposed to be destroyed. They were Canaanites. They weren't from a far country like they pretended. But why didn't Joshua know that? It says right in there, because he asked not counsel of the Lord. He asked not counsel of the Lord. Folks, when we have decisions to make, we ought to ask the Lord. And Joshua thought, oh, this is no big deal. It's just a couple little group of people, and they represent these people from a foreign country. So sure, we can make a league with them. And he didn't ask the Lord. It's the times when we think that we can handle it. That's when we're going to mess up. We need to pray. We need to ask God's will. And the Spirit will give you a settled peace. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, God's Word, the number one source for God's will. Number two, prayer, where you're seeking the face of God. And He will lead you in your thinking and in your heart. And He will show you what His will be. Number three, circumstances. Circumstances. Did you know that God does lead through circumstances? Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, God says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. God told these people at this church that he set before them an open door. You know what that is? That's circumstances. He gave them an opportunity. He said, here, you have an open door. You have an opportunity to pass through. And God can lead through circumstances. Now, caution. Other people can control circumstances too. Did you know that Job and all the circumstances that happened to him were God allowing it, but the devil doing it? It was the devil doing it? Okay. So you can't base your decision just on circumstances. You have to make this third in line to God's Word and prayer. Okay, somebody says, well, you know, it was just amazing how we met. And I know they're unsaved, but I think the Lord wants me to meet them because it's just amazing how we met. No, because God's will is not contrary to His Word. You can't put circumstances above other things. But the other side of that coin is that God does use circumstances because God is in control of everything, isn't He? He's sovereign. He brings things to pass. Psalm 75, verse 7 says, but God putteth down one and setteth up another. In the New Testament, Jesus talked about the sparrow on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God knowing it, then He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. Ben Franklin quoted that, and he said, you know, if a sparrow's not going to fall to the ground without God knowing it, is it probable that a nation could rise without God's hand being upon it? A great quote about our wonderful nation of America. But God's in control. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God's in control of the things that happen in our lives. He's in control of the circumstances. He can open up doors. He can close doors. And we can know God's will through that. Some of the circumstances come through authority. Did you know that God planned for you to have the authorities that are in your life? He knew who your mom and dad would be. He knew who your boss at work would be. And a lot of God's will can be known through the authorities that God's placed in your life. Proverbs, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We'll stay in Proverbs for a while, so it'll be worth your while to find it. Proverbs chapter 6. I think a young person makes a big mistake if they do not seek the counsel of their parents. As a matter of fact, we're asking the Lord if we ought to buy a home. We've been here long enough. We know the area. And it looks like you folks aren't going to kick me out. So it's about time to buy a house, you know. And we found one that we kind of liked. And so, you know what I did? I emailed the address of the website that describes this house to my dad. I mean, I'm my own family now. I got my own family. But I want to seek the counsel of my dad because it's wise. The Lord knows your parents. He knows the parents He gave you. And He can give you wisdom and direction through your parents. And I'll tell you, if my dad emails me back and says, "That looks terrible. You better run." We're going to weigh that super heavy. We're going to weigh that very heavily because God can lead through your authorities, especially your parents. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Okay, you want to stay in the right way? You want to stay in the way of life? Then you follow the reproofs of instruction. And you seek counsel, especially of your father and your mother. And notice it doesn't say that this father and mother are saved. Now, praise the Lord if you've got a godly father and a godly mother. But I believe the Lord can lead through your parents even if they're not saved. He really can. He really can. They love you. They want the best for you. And He can lead through your parents. I had a kid in my youth group when I was a youth pastor who said, "I think the Lord wants me to go to this such and such a college." But his parents said no. He was a bus kid. His parents weren't saved. And they didn't want him going to the Christian college. He said, "What should I do? Go anyway and do what God wants me to do?" And I said, "Well, you got to do what God wants you to do. But part of what God wants you to do is to honor and respect your parents. And if the Lord wants you at that college, He could change your parents' heart." And I said, "The thing to do is to pray and say, 'Now, Lord, I think You want me at this college, but my parents are saying no. And You lead through my parents. So, Lord, You're going to have to change my parents' heart.'" And we began to pray that way. And after a few months, you know what his parents said? They said, "I see such a change in you from when you got saved and you're going to that church faithfully and you're going Wednesday night and Sunday night and God's working in your heart and we're willing for you to go to that Christian college now." And the Lord changed his parents' heart. You see, God can lead through your parents. And I'll tell you what that did. That gave him such a peace that going to that college was God's will. He knew it now. He was positive of it now. It wasn't just his own heart's desire because the Lord changed the hearts of his parents. And the Lord can lead you through your parents. He can lead you through other authorities. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." And they're looking out for what's best for you. And most times you say, "Well, not my boss." Hey, what about your boss? He's looking out for himself. He doesn't care about me. That might be true. In an unsaved world, working in an unsaved company, it might be true, but you've got, turn to Proverbs 21. You've got Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will." Just like the Lord determines where the river is going to wind, in the same way, God determines the king or the authority's heart. And He can work in the life of your boss, and He can have your boss tell you some things. Now, obviously, if your boss tells you to do something that's against God's Word, no. Remember, circumstances don't come above the Bible. But if there are other circumstances, a lot of times the Lord can lead through that boss and the authorities that He's placed in our lives. Romans 13 says the powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, God is the one that set them up. So you can know God's will through circumstances. Let's go a little further. We talked about authority, but you can also know God's will through counsel. Through counsel. Proverbs 11. Go to Proverbs 11, verse 14. You know, as we've been looking at this possibility of buying a house, we've been talking to people because, you know, I never owned a house before. I never bought a house before. I don't know what to do about it. So I've been asking some of you guys, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this house? What do you think about this situation? Some of you have actually come and looked at the house with us. And, man, that's a great help because we need counsel. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Look at chapter 12 and verse 15. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know what? If somebody just strikes out on their own and says, I don't need to ask any counsel. I'm smart enough. I can figure this out on my own. The Bible says that's foolish. That's foolish. But if you're wise, you'll get some counsel. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Go to chapter 15, verse 22. Chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Okay? You want your purpose to be established? You want to have it established? This is what the Lord wants me to do? Run it by some people. Hey, you've searched God's Word. You've prayed about it. There seems to be an open door. The circumstances seem to avail themselves. Then talk to some of those people that you respect and get some counsel. Listen to the counsel of the authority, and you ought to respect the authority, and get some counsel from them. Chapter 20, verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 18. Over and over again, the Lord puts this in the wisdom book of Proverbs. Chapter 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Okay, don't just jump into things. Get some counsel about it. Chapter 24 and verse 6. Chapter 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, I think counsel comes in two ways. Number one, it's offered. Do you ever know some people who will offer you counsel even when you didn't ask for it? Don't take that lightly, because sometimes the Lord is telling them to do it. We talk sometimes in church about spiritual gifts. When somebody gets saved, the Lord gives you a special gift that you can use in His service. And there's lots of spiritual gifts that are talked about in the Bible. One of the passages that talks about it is 1 Corinthians 12. Listen to verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. These are in a list of spiritual gifts. Here's two spiritual gifts that we don't talk about very much. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. One of the gifts that God can give to someone who's surrendered to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to fill your life is He can give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Something that is really important to say. I only think I had this happen one time in my life. I often prayed for the young people at our church to know God's will and to go to the right Christian college, kind of like I prayed for myself when I was younger. And I would pray and pray, Lord, let this guy know your will. He's getting ready to graduate this year. Let him know what college you want him to go to. And one time, it was like clear as day. I don't want him to be spooky. It was just the Holy Spirit. It was clear as day, the Lord telling me, go to that guy's parents and you tell him that he really needs to consider such and such a college. I never did that before. And by the way, it wasn't even the college I went to. It was a different one, a different Christian college. But the Lord just so made it clear to me that I at least needed to tell his parents that the Lord was putting on my heart that he should really strongly consider that college. I didn't want to say, God told me he wants you to go, because I didn't hear any voices from heaven. Okay? But it was the strangest thing because hundreds of young people I prayed for over the 19 years as a youth pastor, but that one, the Lord just laid on my heart that I need to go to his parents and tell them that. And so I did. And then it's up to them what they do with the word of wisdom. But sometimes counsel is offered and you think, well, What's he telling me that for? It's none of his business. Maybe the Lord told him to tell you that. And so weigh it. Weigh counsel that is offered to you. You know, none of us like to be nosy and butt into other people's business. So if somebody comes to you with some counsel, they probably prayed about it. They probably agonized about it and thought, oh man, what's he going to think if I tell him that? That's what I did about these parents. I thought they're going to think I'm so kind of charismatic. You know, God spoke to me. You know, they're going to think, no. God can lead us and he can give a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And so sometimes counsel is offered. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, because more often than counsel being offered, it needs to be obtained. Counsel needs to be obtained. Everybody look down at this verse. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I like this verse. It's like deep water. You know, most of the time, if you just go shallow on your well, you're not going to get as good water as if you go deeper. Maybe where you live, there's a water table at 60 feet, and you can drill your well down to 60 feet and get some water. But a lot of times, if there's another water table at 120 feet, sometimes worth the extra cost to drill it deeper and to get that deep water, because that's the good stuff. And notice it says that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. A lot of times people are thinking some things that would be really helpful for you to know, but they're not going to tell you because it's deep water. It's deep in there. And it's good, it's sweet, it's precious, it's cool, it's refreshing, but it's deep down in there. And so it says at the end of verse 5 that a wise man draweth it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. Somebody who has some understanding, somebody who knows what they're doing, they're going to come to your heart and try to draw out some of that counsel. So not only is counsel offered, but sometimes it needs to be obtained. You got to lower the bucket down deep, and then you got to pull it up. It takes work to pull that counsel out. And I've had times in my life when I've gone to some people that I've respected, and I've said, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, you know, just do what the Lord wants you to do. Well, obviously, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do, but I want to know what you think about it. And he's humble, and he says, well, you know, what I think about it isn't worth anybody else's. I don't really know a Bible verse about it. I said, I know, but I've asked you because I really want to know. What do you think? Well, to tell you the truth, when I heard about it, I was thinking, you know, such and such. And then I've got counsel. And I had to draw it out. Some of you have never asked your parents what they think about things. Why does your mom and dad have to come to you and say, hey, you shouldn't do this, or this is wrong, or why don't you go to mom and dad and say, hey, how come this isn't right? Or how come at Bethel Baptist Church we don't do this? Or how come at Bethel Baptist Church we do this? What's the reason behind it? Don't ask in a rebellion, who can we go to do this? Don't be rebellious. But go to draw out counsel and say, hey, mom, how come our family does this? Or dad, what's the purpose for this? Draw it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. And when you have decisions to make and you're praying, you're saying, Lord, show me your will, one of the things you ought to do is obtain good counsel. Go and ask someone, maybe someone in authority the Lord has put over you, or someone who you respect spiritually, and get some counsel. A wise man, a man of understanding, will draw it out. Perhaps you remember the story of Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. He had just become king, and he was wondering how he could solidify the kingdom under him. Anybody know who Rehoboam's father was? Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. But Rehoboam somehow missed it. He wasn't quite so wise. Solomon wrote down a lot of the Proverbs, and they were inspired of God, so they were accurate. And so I guess Rehoboam just didn't take him to heart. But when Rehoboam became king, he sought counsel, and he talked to the old counselors that had counseled his father Solomon, the wisest man. And they told him something that he ought to do to get the kingdom solidified under him. He didn't really like what they told him. because he wanted to be the tough guy. And so he went, the Bible says he went to the people his own age. He went to his peers, to the people his own age. And he asked them counsel, and they told him what he wanted to hear. And so he forsook the counsel of the wise, aged men, and he took the counsel of the young men. And you know what happened? Instead of solidifying the kingdom was split. And from that point, and throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you've got the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom of Israel had 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. The southern kingdom had 2. Guess which one Rehoboam was over? The one with 2. The one with 2. You see, he forsook the counsel. You know, young people, don't forsake the counsel of your parents and older people and take counsel from somebody else. And older folks, don't we do this sometimes? We go to somebody who's going to tell us what we want to hear. Well, don't go to somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear. Go to somebody who's going to be honest with you and tell you what you need to hear. Okay? And Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and he tried to get counsel from his own peers, and that was not wise. So we can know God's will by counsel. Now you say, wait a minute. I've read my Bible. I've been in my Bible. I pray and I ask the Lord for guidance. Circumstances, well, there's some open doors, but there's a number of open doors. I don't really know where to go or what to do for sure on this issue. And I've sought counsel, and actually the counsel I've got is not definitive. I'm not really sensing that the Lord's leading me through counsel. I'm coming time for the decision. What do I do? Number 5, the fifth way you can know God's will is through desire. Through desire. Now, there's some conditions upon this. We studied this in Sunday school recently, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The next verse says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In other words, he's going to accomplish his will in your life if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, you'll commit your way to the Lord, you'll say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, then he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll change those desires and make them what they ought to be, so that when you get to decision time, the desire that the Lord's put in your heart will be the right decision to make. Now, you can't claim that if you're not in the Bible and you're not praying and you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. But if you are, that's a great comfort. He will give you the desires of your heart. So when you come to the decision point, and maybe a verse has not jumped off the page at you, and it's not against God's word, and counsel's not definitive, what do? You do the thing that God has put in your heart a desire to do. Does God lead through desires? He sure does. One of the ways somebody can know that they're called into Christian work is through desire. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, if a man desire the office of a bishop or pastor, he desireth a good work. God says, if somebody desires to do that, that's a good thing. He ought to pursue it. He ought to pursue it. That's a good thing. He can lead you through desires. And sometimes the Lord puts a burning desire in your heart for something. And maybe you don't see it in black and white in the Bible, but you can know it's His will because He put the desire there. You say, well, I got a burning desire to own a Porsche 911. Well, how do you know if the Lord put it there? You're surrendered. You see, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then He'll be able to give you the things that you desire. But if you delight yourself in material things, you're not delighting in the Lord. See, and sometimes we say, well, these desires I have, well, they might be materialistic desires. But you delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You can trust those desires if you're surrendered to Him. That's the message of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where he says at the end you'll experience the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how will you experience it? You'll want to do it, and you'll have a desire for it if you are a living sacrifice, not conformed to this world, and transformed by renewing your mind with Scripture. And when those three things happen, you could trust your desires. I had one person tell me, well, I believe it's the Lord's will for me to do such and such. And I said, how do you know? And they said, because that's the desire that I have. I believe the Lord put that desire in my heart. And I said, well, that's great. Are you reading your Bible every day? Well, no. Well, then how are you being transformed by renewing your mind so that you can trust your desires? And I said, do you have some of this ungodly stuff in your life? I kind of knew some of the things going on. And he goes, well, yeah, I guess that really isn't pleasing to the Lord, that stuff I listen to or whatever. I know it's not pleasing to the Lord. And I said, well, if you're conformed to the world, then how are you going to know God's will? And are you surrendered to do anything God wants, even concerning those things that maybe you'd have to get rid of in your life? Because you've got to be a living sacrifice. And he kind of went away with his head hanging. I was kind of hard on him, I guess. But, you know, to say God is leading me when he's really, and God's giving me this desire when we're not a living sacrifice and we're like the world and we're not renewing our mind, that we're just fooling ourselves. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a positive verse. It says, if I am a living sacrifice and I'm seeking for the Lord to give me victory over the worldly ways that have plagued my life, and I'm letting him transform my mind through his scripture, well, then I can have peace that he is leading me. And I can trust my desires. And I can say, okay, Lord, I believe this is what you'd have me to do because you put that desire in my heart. And you can have that peace, and he can lead through desires. Now, then it comes the time for the point of decision. And here's my last thing today, faith. The Bible says that as a Christian, we walk by faith and not by sight. That means there's going to be some times when you've sought the Lord, you've surrendered to him, you believe you've got the desire from the Lord, you think he knows what you want, what he wants you to do. Well, then don't agonize over it. Just take that step in faith. Take that step in faith. Proverbs 6:22 says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. We already read that about the parents, but when thou goest, it shall lead thee. God will lead you. God's not trying to hide his will from you. It's not like a scavenger hunt. It's not, you know, like, something that, you know, the pirate's treasure that nobody's ever going to be able to find. No, God wants you to do his will more than you want to do his will. So if you're surrendered and you're seeking it and you're doing these things that we talked about today, then it comes the time to take the step of faith. Isaiah 30:21, listen closely to this. It says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the left hand and when you turn to the right. I love that verse because it tells me that when it comes time to make the decision, that I need to just take that step in faith because God promised to lead me. Faith is not blind faith. It's based on the Word of God. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. He will show me his will. So I've sought his will. And so now I'm taking that step in faith and I'm saying, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. And Isaiah 30:21 says that if I'm taking a misstep, if I'm going to the left or to the right, it says, thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, oh, this is the way, walk ye in it. So here I say, Lord, I believe you led me to go this way. And so I take a step over here. Then all of a sudden, something happens. Maybe I get some godly counsel or I read something in the Bible or the Lord takes away the peace that I had in my heart. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. It's not a lightning bolt, but it's a word behind you saying, up, up, this is the way, walk ye in it. Okay, Lord, I'll do this. I'll do this. And then I get off track a little bit, and he says, oh, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, you'll hear that word. He'll say, this is the way, walk ye in it. But folks, what I want you to see is, you got to take the step. Don't let fear paralyze you so that you do nothing. Everybody knows it's easier to steer a moving object. Did you ever sit in your car, and you're in your parking spot, and you try to turn that wheel? Okay. But as soon as you start moving, it's easy to turn that wheel. Okay, on your bike, you're rolling down the road at 20 miles an hour. Maybe you're really cooking at 30 and you're moving down that and just the slightest little turn and you can turn that bike just a little bit of lean and you can go. It's easy to steer something that's moving. We can't be inactive for God. We can't just sit there paralyzed and do nothing. We can say, Lord, I believe you've led me. I've sought your will. I prayed about it for however long, and now it's time to take the step. Here we go, Lord. And if this is wrong, you're going to have to show me. I wouldn't say it this way because it sounds blasphemous, but I actually thought this sometimes. Lord, if this is wrong, it's your fault because I've asked you. I prayed. I said, Lord, you got to show me. And he will show you. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and you've got to have the faith to step out. When you've saturated the matter in God's word and prayer, when the circumstances seem to give a green light, when godly counsel is affirmative, then it's time to take the step for God in faith, believing his promise. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Because you will be stepping and walking in what Philippians calls the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there's no better satisfaction, there's no greater joy than to find, follow, and finish the will of God for your life. Let's bow in prayer.